Riverside Healthcare puts the health and wellness information you need well within reach.
Welcome back to the Well Within Reach podcast. I'm your host, Helen Dandrand, and today I'm going to be joined by Miranda Servinskis, nurse practitioner at Riverside Medical Group's Internal Medicine Bourbonnais office, to discuss all that you need to know about a very fun topic, IBS.
Healthcare can be confusing, but thanks to your My Riverside MyChart, you can easily manage not only your care, but your family's as well. With a single click, your My Riverside MyChart lets you stay well connected to the same information your provider sees. You can view your health history, get test results, request prescription refills, pay your bill, or make an appointment. Manage your care from anywhere, your laptop, phone, or tablet. Learn more and enroll today at riversidemychart.org.
And we're back. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
We're glad to have you. Let's get started. You've never been on the podcast before. Could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Of course. So I've been in healthcare for about 9 years now. I started at Christ Hospital in Oaklawn as a med-surg nurse. I was doing that for 3 years, and then I was an ICU nurse for 4 years. I worked in urgent care as a nurse practitioner for 1 year before starting at Riverside with internal medicine in January.
Awesome. Awesome. So we're going to jump right into the topic. Can you provide like a quick overview of what IBS is, or irritable bowel syndrome?
So IBS is a functional disorder of the gastrointestinal tract that is characterized by pain and altered bowel habits such as diarrhea, constipation, alternating diarrhea and constipation, or normal bowel habits alternating with either diarrhea and or constipation.
Okay, so that kind of answers the question a little bit, the next one, but what are like the common symptoms typically associated with IBS, and how can they vary maybe from person to person?
Yeah, so every person will kind of vary, and not each patient will have the same symptoms. Different symptoms would be the abdominal pain that varies in intensity, altered bowel habits with diarrhea and or constipation. One person might have the diarrhea while the other person might deal with more constipation. And the next person might alternate between the two.
Got it. And how is it diagnosed? Like, are there some key criteria or tests used to diagnose it?
So not really. We go based off of symptoms. There's no specific diagnostic laboratory test, but we can do lab testing to exclude alternate diagnoses. And all patients with suspected IBS will collect a complete blood count. And in those who have diarrhea, we might perform various stool tests, testing for celiac disease and C-reactive protein levels to check for infections.
So is it kind of like, I guess what you said, ruling other things out, and then it's kind of diagnosed based off of that?
Exactly. Yeah. We want to make sure there's no other underlying cause first before we diagnose the IBS.
Gotcha. And I've also heard there are like different subtypes of IBS. Can you tell us more about that?
Of course. So the different subtypes with IBS include IBS with predominant constipation, where the patient will report abnormal bowel movements with constipation. IBS with predominant diarrhea is when the patient reports mostly diarrheal bowel movements as their abnormal bowel movement. IBS with mixed bowel habits, of course, with both constipation or diarrhea. And IBS unclassified is when the patients meet the criteria for IBS, but they can't go in one or the other.
Got it. We are going to take a quick break to talk about finding a primary care provider. Riverside knows that health is your greatest asset and that your primary care provider is your partner in health. Find a primary care provider that fits your needs at riversidehealthcare.org/primary care. All right, jumping right back into the topic at hand, what are some potential triggers or factors that can bring out IBS symptoms in individuals?
Some potential factors that contribute to IBS would include decreased gastrointestinal motility, meaning that the time it takes for substances to move through the GI tract is decreased, which can cause constipation, visceral hypersensitivity or increased sensitivity in response to stimuli may cause distension or bloating. Inflammation of the intestines and bacterial overgrowth may also cause IBS with diarrhea. Food sensitivities and food allergies may also trigger IBS symptoms. And lastly, anxiety, sleep problems, depression, and somatic disorders can also trigger IBS symptoms.
And you just touched on this a little bit just now, but how does stress and mental health impact IBS symptoms? And are there strategies potentially for people to use to manage stress in relation to that condition?
Yeah. So as I mentioned previously, anxiety and depression, among other mental health issues, can trigger the IBS symptoms, but it can also be reversed, and the IBS may cause a person to feel anxious, depressed, stressed when dealing with the illness. Having to plan your day around using the bathroom can be embarrassing, could be exhausting for some people, and sometimes they may choose, you know, not to participate in an event altogether, depending on how they feel that day.
Got it. What would you say then are some treatment options available to manage the IBS symptoms?
So when a person is first diagnosed with IBS, we can try lifestyle changes and dietary changes first to see if we can identify triggers and then eliminate them. Physical activity is another great option for reducing the severity of the IBS symptoms. Furthermore, in patients with IBS with constipation, fiber supplement is recommended as the first line treatment. If it fails, laxatives are the next option, such as Miralax, milk of magnesia, and lactulose. There are also some prescribed medication options, such as lubiprostone, as well as linectalide and plenectalide. Those with IBS with diarrhea may be offered an antidiarrheal, such as loperamide, or bile acid sequestrant, such as cholestyramine. There also is another option. Tricyclic antidepressants may be used because they slow the transit time in the intestines as well. There are also medications that can be given for abdominal cramping, such as dicyclamine. And lastly, antibiotics and probiotics. They're not routinely used, but may be used in certain scenarios.
Got it. So it sounds like there's a lot of different things you could do, and probably the place to start is maybe going to a primary care so they can help figure that out for you.
Absolutely. This isn't something that you have to go to a gastrointestinal doctor for, digestive diseases. We can diagnose and treat within the primary care office.
Awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
If you feel like you're dealing with some IBS, just reach out to your primary care provider.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Miranda.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the Well Within Reach podcast brought to you by Riverside Healthcare. For more information, visit riversidehealthcare.org.